Good people of San Francisco! I did not say applaud. What are you doing? That's okay. Sorry, we got started a little bit late tonight. The other guys were wrapping up. They had a fascinating interview going in there. I know these guys. We see them there all the time. I introduced myself earlier. Of course, I did that thing we often have to do. I'm sorry. I'm bad with names. I don't... We all have to do that sometimes, right? I think we all just need to admit that we're not that memorable, most of us. I know I'm not. I certainly don't expect you guys to remember me after tonight. That's why I started putting more effort into my hair. I'll be nice haircut guy. Sometimes sweater person. I'm finding identity one of these days. It makes me feel terrific to see you guys here tonight joining me. I've had some downs lately. I had a breakup recently I was feeling pretty down about. I don't know if you guys struggle with this. Any guys out there in the listening audience tonight who date women, I struggle with how chivalrous to be in a relationship with a woman. Do you, sir? Do you ever find that? Does she make you, like, throw down that nice leather jacket on puddles and stuff? And it looks like it would hold up after a few, but I don't know. Here's the one thing I struggle with the most is holding doors for women. And there's some ladies in the audience tonight. I want to pull you a little bit. How much do you need this, guys, to hold doors open for you? How much do you need this in your life? Do you? I'm seeing a head shake. No, not so much.
No, but it's nice.
Yeah, but it's nice. That's usually the response. But it's not needed, but tell me, does it not feel a little bit patronizing every time some woman comes walking up to a door, some guy's got to go running up and be like, whoa, 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 let me get that for you there, sweetheart. These doors can be kind of tricky, you know. You're just lucky there was a man here to do it for you. Be on your way. Go buy shoes or something. And the door closes on gender equality. I personally identify as a feminist. I believe that men and women should be equal. I believe that we can be that way. That's why whenever I'm going through a door and I see a woman's following up behind me, I turn around and I slam the door in her face. And then when she tries to open the door herself, I brace myself up against it so she can't get through. And then I take from my pocket the wooden wedge doorstop that I carry for feminism, and I put it in the door for me, and I kick it in there, and I jam it shut. And then when she screams at me through the door, "Why are you doing this?" I like to yell back, "Girl power!" I believe in you, ladies. I've learned so much. Grown as a person. Before I forget tonight, if anybody finds a wallet that was dropped on the ground earlier, I would really like it back. Please do not return it to its rightful owner. They're clearly rich. Believe me, they can afford to lose that one. I want you guys to know I'm not really a dishonest person. I'm just a harmless comic. What do you get when you cross a red wire with a yellow wire? New car. Got that joke? From a car thief. I like to think he would understand me stealing it from him. It's karma. Carmody. We're having fun. Jokes, things to say. I'm looking for honest work recently, and the one question I hate to get when I'm in a job interview is, can you explain any gaps in your employment? You've clearly gotten this before. Fuck, I hate that question. I was like, yeah, I'm a quitter. I'm a quitter and proud of it, sir. Sorry, did I spit get in your face? Sorry, I'm enthusiastic. I'm a proud quitter. People aren't proud enough about the things that they quit.
But I was born quitting when I quit my mama's womb and came out into this world. And I've been quitting my way across this land ever since. Going to places and then quitting those places to go other places. And when I get to the end of a long, fruitful life, I'll be able to look back at all the loves and the heartbreaks, the ups and the downs, and feel gratitude for every moment of it. And as I'm drawing my last breath, I'll finally get to say my last words. I quit. And we'll be done. I like to have a little fun when I get that question in a job interview. Explain my gaps in employment. Let's see. My last three jobs, I got fired, and I quit. Okay, why? Stealing, and I'd stolen enough. Move on to better things. You need a new employee. I did get fired, actually, from my last job for stealing, which I think only goes to prove just what a great piano mover I was. You're right, that is a good joke. I did have a pretty good gig doing data entry for a while that I thought was going really well until somebody pointed out to me that we were supposed to be entering specific kinds of data into computers, and Mad Libs don't count. Ben's boss, Count Dracula, was very gassy when he found out Ben hadn't done any work in a billion years. It did not work at the staff meeting. It was fine. It seems like that question always comes with such a side of attitude. Can you explain any gaps in your employment? What is so bad about that? Like, you get the resume of somebody across your desk with gaps in their employment, your attitude shouldn't be, what's the matter with you, jackass? Couldn't find a job? No, you get that resume across your desk, your attitude should be, oh my God, you haven't had a job in 3 years? Teach me your ways! Because that person is your Morpheus, and they are trying to show you out of the Matrix. Follow them. My dad was asking me about my job prospects, and I told him, I got a new business idea. It's a taxi that doesn't actually move anywhere. See, we're always trying to get somewhere in life, right? We're always trying to get to another physical location. We're trying to get further in our career. We're trying to get in the relationship we want. We're trying to get something we crave. And we always imagine that when we get to where we're trying to go, that then we'll be happy. Then we can stop struggling and feel good. But what if you get to where you're trying to go and you still aren't happy? What if you get the thing you wanted and then you lose it? I say, why postpone happiness for when you've already gotten to where you're trying to go? What if we could learn to find contentment with whatever we have, wherever we are, so we could be here now and say yes to what is? No, my taxi won't transport you to a physical location. My taxi will be an experience, learning to love every step of your journey and every moment of your time so that you don't waste all your breath trying to conquer it. This is the Enlighten Your Load Cab Company. And my dad said, you really need to stop making excuses and get your car fixed. This is getting ridiculous and elaborate and long-winded. I was like, I don't know, I'm pretty contented with it, with the way it is.
I'm happy. I was driving and I noticed there are billboards warning you not to text and drive. There are billboards telling you not to take your eyes off the road. I would bring this to the city's attention, but I'm afraid they would take it very seriously and try to warn people by putting up a billboard. By the way, thanks for re-electing Ed Lee, guys. So it's such a dick thing to say. Probably everybody listening right now did not vote for Ed Lee. And
29% of San Francisco turned out for it.
Thank you for the statistic. You're like the C-3PO of this. Never tell me the odds. Really warms my heart to have you guys here tonight. Because I, you know, as a comedian, I spend a lot of time at open mics where one only hopes for comedy. You go and you watch what people will reveal about their dark past, and I find the feeling I have most frequently when I'm at these things is, oh, you were sad as a kid too? Let's be friends. I have to admit, I feel a little bit selfish for saying it, but I do feel genuinely insecure that maybe my childhood wasn't fucked up enough for me to be a successful stand-up comic, you know? Takes your inventory, like, okay, my parents are divorced. I got that going for me. On the other hand, I never developed an eating disorder when my parents sent me to church camp where I lost my virginity to the youth pastor, so I'm a little behind. She's got great material about her. I can't top that. If childhood trauma really is the key to being a great stand-up comic, then you know who's got to have some awesome material is Elian Gonzalez. That guy would crush it on stage. Are you too young to remember who that is? I don't know. I'm not good at gauging ages, but you looked like you were only pretending to get that. I don't know. That was funny, just so you know. We're going to see a lot of great comics here tonight. I have six of my absolute favorite comics in the whole Bay Area here tonight. I'm so excited for you to see them. They each got a nice chunk of time each. And, I don't know if you guys are comedy fans. I don't know if you get that in-depth in getting to know the people who bring you this hilarity on a daily basis. But if you take away nothing else from an evening with us, I hope you take away that unlike actors in your fancy Hollywood studio films, the performers you're going to see here tonight, they do their own stunts. Stand-up comics, we do our own stunts. When you see, like, Matt Damon or whoever fighting off, like, 15 zombie ninjas and whatever, Liam Neeson, his geriatric ass karate chopping somebody because they took his daughter again. Are they really fighting all those bad guys? No, it's somebody who kind of looks like them. That's not real. They don't do their own stunts. But I really had a roommate who really took 7 hits of Ambien recreationally. And then I really had to stop him from getting into a fight with our house. I do my own stunts. When 2 star-crossed lovers are hell-bent across some enchanted kingdom because they got to get married before the evil witch's curse on Saturday night or whatever. Are they really going across land? Wow, that was a weird thing to say. Are they really making that journey themselves? No. They're in their trailers smoking weed. But I really took a cab from one end of Maryland to the opposite end of Virginia one night at 2 a.m. to have sex with a woman I had met at Joe's Crab Shack karaoke hour. Only to have to hide in her closet in the morning when her mom barged in. Only to then go to my friend's wedding with hickeys all over my neck. And the only interesting stories of anybody there. When the plucky teens
band together to form a dance troupe to win the $5,000 dance competition to save the community center. Are they really winning that dance competition? No, they've got choreographers just off camera smoking weed. But me and a friend really made my high school English teacher weep tears of anger when he and I sang a song about getting cock-blocked by a hot girl's fat friend at a bar at our high school talent show, and then won that talent show. Yes, we did. I swear on my mother's eyeballs that happened. We do our own stunts here. Last week, I ate a sandwich in the shower. That example's not as good as the others, but still, you never see that in the movies, so unique experience. Guys, I can't thank you enough again for being here. By the way, I don't know if I introduced any of this. This is the Hired Killers Comedy Showcase. Beaming out to you live from Mutiny Radio in the heart of the Mission at 21st in Florida. Come on down. See these sexy, fuckable people here tonight. My name is Ben Lupinetti. I'm your host this evening. Don't look down. You are fuckable. I'm Ben Lupinetti. I'm your host this evening, and I'm going to be bringing up your first comic of the evening. She's amazing. She's incredible. She's absolutely sensational. Give a big round of applause right now for Ruby Gill.
Oh, my God. I wanted to get into that cab, dude. I wanted to get into that cab and forget about myself for a while. That was crazy good. I'm so glad to see all your happy faces tonight. I'm recently going through a breakup too, Ben. Ouch. Pretty rough. Yeah, I know. I saw him today. He asked me what I was doing this week, and I said I'm going to the concert, you know, the concert I bought tickets for, you know, the two of us. And he said, you're not bringing a date? You're not bringing another date? And I thought, wow, the audacity. The audacity to think that I'm bringing a date to this when that date canceled on me. You know what I mean? Like, burn on burn. Burn. But it's okay, you guys, because I'm not alone. You know, you might be lonely, but you are not alone. Because I have a spider somewhere in my living room right now that I can't find. Unless he left me to, you know, unless he left me to. There's also that possibility. But I have had a pretty good last few weeks. I partied it up at Treasure Island Music Festival a few weekends ago. Very fun, good time. Where I learned that there are no sluts out there. That's a wrong word, okay? There are humanitarians, all right? I saw a girl get up on a dude's shoulders with no underwear on just to watch the show. It was spectacular, honestly. But so I had so many great experiences while I was there. And while I was waiting in line for the Ferris wheel, a man approached me and he said, "Hey, don't I know you from somewhere?" And I said, "I don't know. Do you enjoy comedy in and around the Bay Area? Primarily at a laundromat?" He said, "No." And I said, "Fine then, buddy. Where do you know me from?" And he said, "Weren't you at the Embarcadero BART station 2 Memorial Days ago, vomiting your brains out?" He said, "Hey, old friend, thanks for recognizing me. That's good. Nice to see you, too." I guess the moral of that story is, you know, I'm bad at writing BART. You know, I'm not good at it. You know, when I'm inebriated, I like to utilize the lesser of two mustache rides, Lyft. You know? Yeah. And that Lyft line, budget friendly, you know, easy on the pocketbook. I think you guys should look into it. It's a great place to meet new people. I was in a Lyft line the other day, and the driver had this song on and just lost myself, started singing to it, closed my eyes. But then, there's someone next to me enjoying this beautiful music too. And she turned to me and said, "Wow, you have a lovely singing voice." Felt so much pressure at that moment. I just had to say, "Shut the hell up." Yeah, guys, Backstreet Boys. I'm cool. I'm not good at making friends. That's really what I'm trying to say with that. little introduction. It's hard for me to make friends. I like to meet friends, at my favorite store, Walgreens. Yeah, on the corner of Happy and Healthy, you know? It's a great place. Great place to meet your neighbors. You know, I was in line the other day to pay, and I was peeking into this guy's basket. You know, he only had two items? Wine and mouthwash, you know? Now, that's a friend to make. That's a friend that keeps a secret, you know? It's a good idea. I like to meet new friends down the greeting card aisle because they are the sensitive folks. The people you find in there just weeping over a card, you know? I like to give them some tips. I like to say some exciting things to them like, hey, how come wet wipes don't taste better? You know? Or even something, you know, more moving like, ooh, I see you're scratching that elbow there. You tried coconut oil? It's good everywhere. And I mean everywhere. Aisle 6A. You know? Just help people out with my best icebreakers. But I've been seeing some perplexing cards. There's this new friend that I met, and she had this card in her hand. It said, happy anniversary from the both of us. It's like, what? You are going to take this card home, and you and your partner are going to sign this card, send it to another happy couple who's inexplicably stayed together. They're going to keep it on their fridge, and everyone's just going to be happy? Let's be friends, you know? Teach me all your secrets. I'm so lonely. You know? I saw this other really, really odd card. It said, congratulations on the baby. It's like, congratulations. Not even the people I know. You know what I mean? I think there's a void in the greeting card aisle, you know? There needs to be a portion for scumbags, you know? So you can send something that shit stains in your life, you know? Pretend you have feelings for a moment. With maybe something touching, like, I'm sorry I finger blasted you last weekend. But then you open up the card, and on the inside it reads, but I was high on Molly, though. Though spelled T-H-L, because that's cool. That's hip. That's urban. Just leave off the U-G-H. Ugh. You guys, that laugh for that joke that hits 30% of the time, I'm not going to cry in bed tonight. I'm not. I love being from this city, though. Let's give it up for San Francisco, you know? Still beautiful on a crisp night like tonight. I'm really happy. I've been a resident here for 11 years now, and I feel like this is my home, but, you know, I actually have some humble beginnings, to be honest. You know, I'm from a place I'm not as proud of. I grew up on the border of Mexico and California. Whenever I tell people that, they always say, hey, where'd your local news come from, Mexico or California? And I always give the same disappointing answer, you know, Arizona. We did not matter. But I did not come from the charming town of Tijuana, 2 hours east in El Centro. And, whenever I try to reach deep, you know, to the depths of my soul for some kind of hometown pride, I always go back to this one memory. You know, there was this beautiful billboard on the one road out of town, very inspiring. You know, had all these gorgeous flowers all over it, and this meaningful message, because in big, bold letters, it just read, chlamydia. It's not a flower. Kind of confusing, right? Here you got a picture of all these pretty flowers, a word that suspiciously looks like a flower, but no dice. No flowers here, folks. Just STDs. You know, being the inquisitive child I was, I'd always ask my mom, who'd be driving the car, Mom, if chlamydia is not a flower, what is it? And she would put her foot on the gas and say, nothing! Probably should have told me. It would have stopped me from lots of mistakes. Lots. I'm a wreck when it comes to dating. Go figure, 29 years old, single in the city. Bad at it. Bad at it. I had a really bad date, you know, earlier this year. It was a first date, and it just it just shook me. I've had to become a grown-up since. On a first date, this man asked me, what's your preferred method of taking Molly? For those of you unfamiliar, what he's asking is, do I like to snort ecstasy or take it orally in a pill? And it's so hard to be, you know, yourself and protective and truthful. I mean, here I can be scummy as I want to be. This is protective. This is like a force field. But there it's different, you know? And I just had to fight the urge to say what I wanted to say, which was, hey, man, I don't take drugs for the taste. Take it for the experience. Woo! No wonder he tried to take me to Hooters on that second date, you know? You got to try to act respectful to get respectful, you know? And I was recently seeing a respectful guy. But I think respectful is just a nice way of saying oblivious, right, guys? Because, you know, the first time we went to commit the maritals for the first time, and by maritals, I mean my mouth, his crotch. I went to do the ladylike thing and remove my rings, and he goes, you're taking your rings off? And it's like, no, you know what? I'm going to leave these on. And just wrap this in barbed wire, just punch my crotch! And then, just for funsies, I'm going to put those Bonneville and metal teeth in and just, oh, oh, oh! Yeah, I'm going to take my rings off. I know what I'm doing, all right? Just trust me here. It's just so hard. There's so much pressure. Thanksgiving's coming up, and I have to see my parents. But my parents did let us Gil kids know recently that they had some news. They said, kids, we have some news. We are moving to Indianapolis. Wow, guys, could have moved further. Could have used that, considering what you are, you know? Oh. But yeah, they are actually moving to Indianapolis, which is not far enough. I will kind of miss them being in the Bay Area because it has been nice to just see them whenever I like, you know, and have them remind me, you know, of all the things that I forget. Like, even though I was in mock trial for 2 years in high school, doesn't make me a lawyer. No. Even though I successfully sneak into doctor's offices and undress men's bodies for sport, doesn't make me a doctor. No. Just a pervert. And even though there's a favorite Subway of mine that I frequent, Van Ness and Fell, you guys, great cleaning standards. I'm not a Subway franchisee, you guys. I'm just a shitty Indian daughter, you know? Not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I don't own and operate my own Subway. Disappointment all over. What have I gained? What can I contribute to this world? You know, I always have the females in my life telling me, Ruby, you know, you own all your faults. You own everything, you know, and you've gained a lot of wisdom, especially through all that blowing. And, you know, I think they're right. And maybe that's where I leave my contribution, you know? Like, maybe we all have disgusting contributions to this world. You know, one of my mentors is my mother, and she has totally disgusting contributions to this world. She doesn't think so. She thinks they're pearl drops of wisdom. I want to leave you guys tonight with one of her pearl drops of wisdom. I was recently visiting her, and my brother happened to be nearby, and I wanted to listen in on their conversation. And he asked my mom a sensitive question, some bathroom advice kind of question. He said to my mom, Mom, I have to pee, but I can't. He was bladder shy. He had the urge to urinate. Nothing coming out. Sometimes it's called stage fright. We've all, right, guys? You too, right? And my mom, even though just like a broken clock, she's right twice a day, with all of the wisdom in her voice, like she'd said it so many times before, just said to my brother, I have the solution. You need to take the tip of your finger and run it along the top of your butt crack. Just give it a little tickle. And then the pee will come. What? Folks, I was skeptical too. I was a negative Nelly just like all of you. The first 15 times I tried it, the pee did not come. But I did. And then I realized I probably should listen to her advice more closely. I should stick to the top of the butt crack. And when I did, you know, just don't go exploring back there, is what I'm trying to say. But when I did, the pee did come. So, you know, maybe it's time for the first time in my life to make my mother proud and think about her in the bathroom. I'm Ruby Gill. Thank you so much.
Ruby Gill, ladies and gentlemen. So vivid. I feel like I can see her butthole. Your next comic coming up to the stage. I love this man. Always puts a smile on my face. He's part human, part Siberian husky, all comedian. Please give a warm welcome right now for Ethan Albers.
Hello. Hi. Hi.
Hey.
Hey. What's up? Hi.
Hello.
Hello to you, too. How's everybody doing? We're doing good? We're having fun? Yeah. Round of applause for Lupinetti one more time. Putting this thing on. What a man. What a man. Man, this is fun. I'm having fun. And this isn't going to last, though, right? Like, none of this is going to last. No, I mean, seriously. All the stuff we do to be remembered, all the stuff we post on the internet, the stupid updates, none of it is going to last. None of it will make us be remembered. You know what lasts? Pollution. So if you want to be remembered, pollute. Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Like, you guys aren't going to remember me for comedy. You guys are going to remember me as the guy who killed all ducks. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to erase the world of ducks. Poison bread at a time. That's how I'm going to do it. And it'll be like, oh, everybody remembers Ethan Albers. That's how. That's how. I don't know. I have a respect for nature. I had a moment the other day. I realized I wasn't better than a tree. I'm not messing with you. Like, I'll give you guys perspective right now. Like, I'll make all better trees. I want everybody to do this. Everybody do this. I will sit here forever, sir. You got to raise your hands. Participation. Okay. I see you cheating back there. Now do that forever, okay? That's what a tree does. They just hold shit up. Right? You see a tree with a fort in it, you go, you hard-working motherfucker. Man, employee of the month, right? That's perspective. It's good. It's good. I recently quit drinking. Nah. Like, nobody, like, quits something they're good at, right? Let's go ahead and admit that. Like, no. Like, this is how bad I was at drinking. Like, I got kicked out of a bar in West Oakland one time for aggressively swing dancing. I was like, I'm going to dip you. They're like, get the fuck out. It's hip-hop night. I'm like, oh, I had my top hat and everything, man. It fucking threw me out. I stopped drinking because I'm one of those people that doesn't get drunk and get a little confident. I turn invincible. You can't beat me. I'm that good. I'm awful. I'm the fucking worst. And it's only worked out once. All the times, like, when you get beat up, stuff like that. It only worked out once in my favor. I was coming up out of a bar, like, really drunk, and I hear, Oxy, codeine. And my drunk mind's like, those are fucking awesome when you're already drunk, right? Oxy and codeine. So I'm like, how much? And he goes, 20 for 5. And I'm like, that's a fucking great deal. All right, where do I go? And I gave him my money. He goes, follow me to my car. So I start walking with him, and you know, I have that, like, conscience. the back of my mind, something clicked on. It goes, Ethan, focus, Ethan. My internal self has ADD too. So it's just like, Ethan, calm down. You're going to get beat up. And I'm like, that's not good. So I stop directly in front of my building. And I go, like an adult, I go, I want a refund. And him being a drug dealer, he goes, no, dude, not doing that. But you go, wait right here, and I'll bring you your drugs back. Right? That's a good drug dealer, right? That's a terrible drug dealer. He already has my money. So I go, okay. You go get the drugs. I'll wait right here. But I want collateral. And he's like, what? Collateral? I'm like, I want your shirt. And he was like, all right, I guess I'll make the sale. And he takes his shirt off, and he hands it to me. I'm like, that's not enough. I want your hat. And he goes, okay. And he takes off his hat and he hands it to me. He's like, to make you feel more like dick, he's like, here, take my chain. And he drops the chain into the hat. And he's like, I'll be right back. And he runs around a corner to go get drugs. I'm standing there. I'm drunk. It's cold in front of my building. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to run up, go pee, come right back down. So I go up, I pee, and I come out of the bathroom. I do this thing I've never done before. I sit down and I fall asleep. You look terrified, ma'am. It's going to be okay. I promise you. We'll walk through the dark. It's okay. And I wake up in the morning, and I have a brand new baseball cap. I have a super bitchin' gold chain. And I have a shirt that says Property of Little Tate on the collar. I robbed a drug dealer. And here's the thing. I felt bad. Because this guy's just a working man. He's trying to make a living out there in the streets. And here I am, a drunk baby angel, taking his shirt and everything else from him. So I went and I hung the hat and a shirt on a stop sign in my neighborhood. I was like, sorry, dude. Wrote a note on it. I kept the chain because fuck him. He took my $20, right? But, you know, I felt bad. That's why I was like, man, I can't be doing this anymore. Good story. Good drunk stories, man. Let's do Choose Your Own Adventure. You guys remember those books?
Yeah.
Choose Your Own Adventure, or if you had children, Choose Your Own Adventure. What do you guys want to hear? You guys want to hear a story about a mop? Or do you guys want to hear a story about the first time I rode a horse? Fuck you, Zach. You don't qualify.
How about horse?
Horse? Show of hands for horses.
Horse.
Show of hands for mop.
Mop.
Mop. Mop very rarely wins. Most people are like living animal involved. This is going to get good. But mop, all right. I was trying to think about like the first time I realized my father was like a crazy person. Like the first time, like not like, oh, my dad's crazy. Like crazy is like mentally insane. As a little kid, I was running around with no shoes on outside. And my dad goes, hey, put some shoes on. And I'm like, no. And my dad does this like parenting thing. I'm sure your parents have done before. He pulls out a pistol and holds it to his head and goes, put your fucking shoes on. And I'm like, Jesus, you did not read that in a parenting book. That never happened. Did not see that once in Full House. Danny Tanner never did that. Never held a gun to the Olsen twins. Never did that. It was okay. My father was a crazy person. That was okay. Everything he did. Like my dad would get angry at like inanimate objects. Like get really pissed for no reason at objects. Like my dad got angry at a mop one time and threw it into the hedge next to our house. We had this giant overgrown hedge. It's not that big of a deal because this hedge was kind of like just like our secondary like trash chute. We just like kicked TVs into it and broken Tonka trucks. Not a big deal. So he throws the mop like a harpoon in this hedge and it goes through the hedge into the parking lot of the gas station next door and breaks the window out to a police car. It's like 5 minutes later, there's a cop knocking on the door. And my dad's like, well, this time my dad's truly crazy. Mop's holding him. The cop's holding the mop. The mop's holding the cop. Whatever. Cop's holding the mop. I like that better. That's a way better alternative. He's holding the mop, and that's what my dad, I forget what my dad says. He looks at him and goes, God damn it! I can't get rid of that mop. That is an insane person. Only insane people worry about mops. Yeah. Like we didn't do any family outings or any of that fun stuff. Like the closest we ever did was my dad would load us and our and all the kids up in the station wagon, and we drive around the nice neighborhoods in Portland, Oregon, and we throw the bread out the windows. We throw bread out the windows, and my dad would go, "What are the rich like?" And us kids would go, "Birds." And I didn't realize till I was older, he wanted birds to shit in nice neighborhoods. That's just why? Why? And here's the crazy thing. I remember throwing good bread out the window. We were poor. I was eating white bread. He was buying wheat for the birds. That doesn't make any sense, Dad. Why? Why? Oh, man. Where are we going? We'll go horses. You guys get them both. Don't apply. Shh. We need quiet. It's a comedy show. No laughing. Nope. Shh. Shh. I'll lose my focus. Come on, guys. I'm trying to tell a story up here. Come on. This is important to me. I've hung out with a lot of shitbags. Just questionable people. The most questionable person I've ever known ever is this guy named Richard. I used to work out of my hotel up in Portland, Oregon. He's one of those dudes who's like 50 and just starting to valet cars and getting his life on track. One of those guys from New York. He's from New York, and he left New York like right after 9/11 happened because it just wasn't too punk rock, in his words. Like, oh, okay, tower's falling. So he goes from punk rock in New York to horses. He gets into horses. Running drill horses, in case you don't know that. It's where horses dance in sequence. It's fucking really out there. Check it out sometime. So he goes, "You got to come up and ride horses, Ethan." I'm like 20. He's like in his 50s. I'm like, okay. Because I looked up this guy. He used to hang out with the Goo Goo Dolls and stuff in New York. This guy's cool, right? So I was a real douche when I was younger. And so I go up to his house, and I go in a barn. I've never grew up in the city. I've never seen a horse in person in real life. And it's humongous. It's this fucking big living animal. You're shaking your head. You've been around horses. They're humongous. And he goes, "All right, that one's Harley Davidson. That one's Jim Beam. You're riding Jim Beam. I'm on Harley Davidson." I'm like, okay. So I like climb up on a horse, and we like walk around this little pasture. I'm like, I can ride a horse. Like, fuck yeah, yay, wee-hee, like a cowboy. He goes, "Good, you got it? We're riding to the pub." I'm like, "We're riding to the pub?" Okay. So we ride through this little town in southwest Washington called Farger Lake, Washington. We ride through the town, and we stop outside the bar, and I hop off. I'm not even fucking 21 at this point. And he goes, "Don't worry about that." He's like, "I just don't want you to freak out. The bartender is kind of a celebrity." "What kind of celebrity? Who is it?" And he goes, "It's Tonya Harding." "You heard of her?" And I'm like, "The figure skater Tonya Harding?" "No, it's not Tonya Harding." So I go in there. "It's Tonya Harding is the bartender." Like, you know what happens when you get exiled from professional figure skating? You wind up a bartender in Farger Lake, Washington, with horse stables on the outside. So I'm in there, and this bar's packed. She starts, like, giving us beers. And all of a sudden, like, I notice that she has an eye for Richard. Once again, he hung out with the fucking Google Dolls from New York. Who wouldn't want to fuck him? What ex-figure skater wouldn't want to fuck him, right? He's a good-looking guy. So she has an eye for him, and she starts going, "Richard, will you play me a song? Richard, will you play me a song?" And like Richard keeps like refusing. A couple hours pass. Finally, he's like, "Fine, I'll play a song." This started getting really weird. Tonya Harding reaches down where they hold like the drinks and like the ice and pulls an electric bass guitar up and hands it to Richard. No amp. And Richard just like, "Boo, boo, 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 boo." While Tonya Harding's going, "Oh, Richard, I love the way you play songs. They make me feel like no other man." I'm like, this is not happening. Then we all snort Oxycontin, and I leave the bar. And that's when I come outside and realize I have to get on another living animal to get back to my car so I can drink and drive home. I'm a shitbag. So I hop on this horse, and I'm freaking out. He goes, "Don't worry about it. Just tell the horse home." I'm like, "Well, I know those horses know their way home." So I'm like, "Home." He's like, "Be respectful. Use the horse's name." So I'm like, "Home, Jim Beam. Home." And the horse starts taking me home. But not the way I rode at the bar. He takes me home the way Jim Beam wants to go home. which is through the forest at a gallop. So I'm holding on to a horse going, I'm going to die. I just met fucking Tonya Harding. This is how it ends. And I come through the woods to a light, and it's okay. I'm off. And right afterwards, Harley Davidson comes through with no Richard. I'm all fucked up. I'm like, where did Richard go, Harley? And the horse is like, nothing. It's a horse. And then Richard comes out of the woods covered in mud with a cigarette. And he's just like, I got confident. I tried to stand up my horse and ride it like a surfboard. And a branch took me off. And that's the first time I rode a horse. First time I met Tonya Harding. Thank you. Have a wonderful night. My name is Vinny Dowers. Ben Lupinetti.
That was Ethan Albers, if you can believe it. That thing I said earlier about comics having weird childhoods, that's why he's the best. Your next comic coming up to the stage, he runs shows, comedy shows, and you do one here too, don't you, Greg?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to do more research on my other comics, and in the meantime, please enjoy the comedy stylings of Greg Gettle.
Guys, I give it up for Ben and everyone else who saw tonight. Ethan talked about doing drugs and riding horses. I never rode a horse, but done a lot of drugs. So I was actually smoking weed outside before this. Round of applause. Who smokes weed in the crowd? You got a job and shit? That's cool. Oh, right on. Congratulations. That's cool, man. I've been smoking weed for a while. It's going pretty good. Yeah. One thing I have noticed in my time of smoking weed, though, it's a great way to meet dudes. Yeah. Not so good with the ladies. They're not a big fan of it. Yeah, they like cocaine. At least the ones I talk to. So I started doing cocaine recently. I'm just kidding, guys. I'm joking. I've been doing coke for a while. It's a great drug. So I'm not a local. Unfortunately, I just moved to the city recently from Chicago, and I don't know, the city's changed me a little bit. For example, I just got out of my first polyamorous relationship. Yeah, right? Yeah, I didn't know it was polyamorous. It's a very San Francisco way of finding you got cheated on. Pretty cool. I don't know, man. I'm dating. I've been doing online dating. Yeah. Yeah, that's fun, right? And by joining these online dating sites, I realize that I'm a lot uglier than I thought. Yeah. There's only so many times you can change your profile pic before you're like, nah, I'm pretty sure it's my face. Pretty sure. That's it. I don't know, man. The older I get, the more I wish arranged marriage was a thing. Yeah. Because when I was younger and I heard about it for the first time, I was like, that's bullshit. Like, you should be in love with the person. But now I'm like, just give me someone. I'll figure it out. You know? You know what I mean? I didn't realize how alone I was until I was on the BART the other day. I was sitting there, and a lady sat next to me, and our forearms touched. And my brain said, you should marry this girl. That's not normal. That's depression, right? Okay. I don't know, man. I hate dating. Well, at least, like, sober dating. Has anyone ever gone on a sober date before?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a fucking mistake. It's Everyone's got their walls up. You know what I mean? Like, no one's being genuine. It feels like a job interview. Like everyone's like, what school did you go to? You know what I mean? Like what do you see yourself in 5 years? It's like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? It's like a job interview for a job that you're probably not going to get. It's probably not going to get that gig. But it's just, like, so annoying because you don't care about, like, you're not supposed to fall in love with what the person does. Like, you care about the person. You know what I mean? And, like, all fucking first dates are just small talk. Which is why I feel like we should implement cocaine on the first date. Because you find out way more about that person in a short... Like if you're for sober hating or sober hanging out, like sober dating. Like, how many sober dates would you have to go on with someone to find out how racist they are? Like 10, 15, 3 years of marriage. Like, you know what I mean? Like... But on cocaine, you find that out in an hour. Which is great. And, do you know, and when it comes to small talk, do you know how many times the weather's brought up on cocaine? Zero. Like, which is why it's a great fucking drug. Because there's other things to talk about. I care about your person. That's what we should be. That's what we fall in love with. So what I'm saying is, do cocaine. Smoke weed. Do acid. Get crazy. You know what I mean? Find out about that person. And if you're into heroin, wait for date two. It's not cool to nap on the first date, you know? I don't know. I don't know, man. Do you guys ever watch that show Intervention to see if you're that bad yet? No? Well, look at you. There's nothing better than watching that show and realizing, I got a couple years still. We're good. But a lot of people that go on these shows, they have like a rock bottom, an ultimate low before they get sober. And a lot of people, like a very popular, like some of the more popular ones is like, I dropped out of college, or I lost the kids, or I started sucking dick. Like, it's always a big one. And to me, I don't understand why sucking dick's a low point. No. Because to me, it seems like you're getting your head on your shoulders with your whole drug problem. Because you're addicted to that drug. You're going to get that drug. But either you work 8 hours at a bullshit job to get high, or you just suck a guy's dick for 10 minutes. Like, financially, in time management, it's like, suck that dick. You know what I mean? It's kind of a work smarter, not harder kind of idea. But then you realize, you're like, yeah, suck dick, do coke. And you're like, maybe I should stop doing cocaine. Maybe we have a problem. No, I told that joke recently. So I don't know if you guys noticed, but this is like a podcast. It's being streamed online for the world to hear. If you go to Mutiny Radio, you can listen to it. But my parents overheard that joke about a week ago. And they live in Tampa Bay, Florida. Yeah, and they got really mad because my dad's like, that's it, San Francisco turned him gay. Like, he's sucking dick for coke. And the thing is, like, my dad loves gay people. He just hates laziness. Tampa Bay. I know it's the weekend. My mom's birthday is actually tomorrow. Yeah, fuck her. Yeah, I'm not gonna get her a gift. A lot of people think that's rude. They're like, it's her day, get her a gift. And I'm not gonna get her a gift because I don't buy gifts for people that used to spank me. Like, if you currently spank me, you get so many presents. But if it was in the past, you're cut off. Round of applause. Who's ever spanked as a kid growing up? I was like, for sure, right? Yeah. And some in the back. I think it's the best way to go about parenting. Like, I really do. I think you learn, just don't hit them that hard. You know what I mean? But, like, my dad is a big guy. He's like 6'5", 300 pounds. So he never really spanked us. Because he thought that if he ever did, he would just fucking kill us. And well, there was like actually one time he did spank me, but it was right after I saw the movie Animal House. Yeah, so every time he'd spank me, I'd be like, thank you, sir. May I have another? He's like, who the fuck is this kid? But my mom did most of the spanking. And I remember one time specifically she was spanking me. And like I had this toy growing up. It was like a plastic bowling set. It had plastic pins and a plastic ball. And I must have been playing with it because while she was spanking me, she stopped and grabbed one of the bowling pins and started spanking me with that. Yeah. And I don't know if you guys know this, but when you have the realization that your parents can use your own toys as weapons, your Christmas is a little different next year. I had so many sweaters by 15. It was crazy. No, we'll end it with this. Round of applause, guys. Who's ever had sex with someone they should not have? Oh, bullshit. Only dimes? Guy? Come on. Really? I like how you guys looked at each other. You're like, you fucking shut your mouth. Yeah. All right. Well, I've had a couple of whoops of daisies in my day. I remember my first regret happened when I was 16 years old. I had sex with my best friend's older sister. She was 23. It wasn't like a hot 23. It's like I'm 23 going on 40. Like, she had whiskers. It was bad news bears. But I was only in there for like 20 or 30 seconds. And did you ever have that real, like, I pulled out. Have you ever had those moments? It doesn't happen that much. But you ever have those moments in life where, like, you grow as a person? You become an adult. You're like, this isn't okay. Like, you ever have that? Yeah. This was not one of those times. I pulled out because I was coming in my hand. And I didn't want her to know. I was like, we cannot be doing this. Don't tell your brother. We didn't tell anyone for about a week, but it was me, my buddy, and his sister drinking. It was like 1:30 in the morning, and Tiffany had an epiphany. She was like, Jeremiah, I got to tell you something. It's been eating at me inside. Me and Greg had sex. And I was like, you fucking narc. Like, what are you doing? I was like, no, man. No, he didn't. Why are we even hanging out with her? She's 23. This is weird. Like, she should have her own friends. And she's like, yes, we did, Greg. You came to my apartment. We got drunk and we had sex. But, like, keep in mind, guys, I'm 16, and she's 23. So, like, that's probably the first time in child molested history that the kid that got molested was like, nah, we didn't fuck. And the child molester was like, yes, we did! It's a big day in child molested history. Breaking down walls. I feel like I should stop using her real name, though. Because, like, she just died recently. Oh, now you feel bad for the child molester? Oh, okay. Okay. That's crazy. That's crazy. My name is Greg Gettle. Thank you guys have been awesome. Get over Ben Lupinay. My name is Greg.
Keep it going for Greg Gettle.
I realized on the way up here, I've had sex with someone I shouldn't have. 2 weeks ago, I had sex with my second cousin.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. I should have learned my lesson after the first cousin I had sex with. But my cousins are so hot. God, I hope my cousins don't hear this set. Greg, that was awesome. Making the most compelling case for sucking dick that you'll hear in the first half of the show, but stay tuned. Your next comic coming up on the stage, one of the most funny and deep-thinking comics around. One of the things I love about this person, She doesn't do small talk. She only talks about deep things when you're with her. It's like she's on cocaine. Yeah. Please give a warm welcome right now to Journey Roberts.
Thank you. How's it going? I'm a mean person. Anyone else? Mean people? It's just me? All right. I didn't know this about myself, but then I moved in with a boy, and you learn these things. Mean person. He keeps wanting to sit me down and be like, no babies. I don't want any babies. And I'm like, we're good, dude. Like, you can relax, Sparky. No one's trying to trap you. I don't know. His sperm just doesn't taste special to me. I could be wrong. Maybe there's 54th president floating around that little ball sack of his. But I don't think so. Can't taste it. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. You should try and temper that a little, right? And be, oh no, I was so looking forward to pushing your gremlins out of my cooch. Now I'm going to have to devote myself to art and music and get to grips with Coppola. I'm heartbroken. So heartbroken. Go cry in a corner now. I'm in favor of body shame. I'm maybe the only person in the city. I'm totally pro body shame. I don't even like it when white people wear beige. I don't know. Racism's super trendy right now. I feel like racism would have been all right if white people had stayed their asses in wherever the fuck it is white people are from. Narnia or fucking Santa's workshop, wherever it is. But white people decided to move here to sunny Mexico and bring Africa with them. So I'm saying, fuck white people. You guys know you're in Mexico, right? Everything west of Denver is Mexico. That's a true story. Fuck white people. I just moved from Denver. I was in Denver for like 5 years. In Denver, there's a lot of white ladies who like to drive around with that green native bumper sticker on the back of their car. No, baby. You're an invasive species. There's no white people who are native. We're not from here. Mean person. I have womb problems. Anyone else have problems with women? It's just me. I'm the only one. My problems are with the girls who wake up in the morning and put pants on and go to work and will still tell you they're not feminists. These girls have no idea what they're standing on. When I hear a woman say she's not a feminist, I think, well, maybe some bitches do just belong in kitchens. I don't know. They always say the same shit, which is, I just don't like labels. Well, you see how you feel about labeling when canning season comes around. Fucking Betty. I don't know. Gents, if a girl ever tells you she's not a feminist, congratulations. She thinks much of you. And secondly, just look that poor girl in the eye and tell her how you take your coffee. I'm saying... Just found yourself a volunteer. Saying, fuck that girl. I don't know. I think dudes give weird compliments. I like it when guys say things like, I like a girl with a little bit of mystery around her, which I'm pretty sure means shut your fucking mouth. I'm pretty sure I figured that one out. You thought you slid that one past me. Not the case. Yeah, and I like a girl who takes care of herself means like buy tweezers. That's all that is. Make friends with your mirror, buy magazines, get a clue. That's all that means. File your fingernails every once in a while. I think a lot about porn and prostitution. Anyone else? It's just me. I can't figure out. It's a fun riddle, right? Porn, completely legal. Prostitution, not at all. Anybody? Porn is just prostitution on film. You guys, that's the only crime that becomes legal when you film it. The only one. Like I can't, like, break into a bank vault and write a jaunty poem about it and be protected under the First Amendment. That's not a thing. Like, you can't pay me to fuck you, but you can pay me to fuck the guy next to you if you film it and sell that shit on the internet. That's the only one. I don't know how to fix that one. I think we could maybe if they just went into all the brothels and they put those cameras they have into water slides. Solves the whole thing overnight. A lot of legal problems. I don't know. I don't know. Think a lot about social justice stuff. You have to these days. Private prisons, those are fun. Anyone know about private prisons? You know, in this state, it costs us like $60,000 to keep a dude in prison for a year. Like, what do you think it would cost you? What do you think it would cost you to keep a dude for a year? Like $20,000? Some top ramen, a cot. He'd be fine, right? That's a $40,000 discrepancy. That's someone's salary. They're fucking lying to you when they're telling you crime doesn't pay. Crime is paying someone. It may not be paying potheads. It is paying some massive corporations are cleaning up on crime. They're making a lot of fucking money. That's very funny to me. Everyone else thinks that's dark. I think that's hilarious. There's nothing funnier than capitalism or death. both equally hysterical. on their way out, I hope. Someone accused me recently of being a basic bitch. I can only say, fuck you, give me money. Give me money, I will go buy pretty things. I don't have it. Don't have it. I ran out of face recently. You guys don't know me, so you can't tell, but I'm all out of face. That's a thing that happens to girls, apparently. But I figured money out. I was treating my bank account like a game of Tetris. That's not working. Not working. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Dolores Park and I'm going to sell toast to the hipster bitches. I figured it out. Artisanal toast in the cast iron, as you do. I'm going to wear ridiculous outfits and I'm going to sell you bitches toast at exorbitant prices. And here's my gimmick. I found the perfect gimmick, which is I promise, I, Journey Roberts, pledge, I will charge you more for artisanal toast than any other bitches in this city. I will happily beat anyone else's prices by a minimum of 25% for you, San Francisco, because I love you. You're welcome. I listen to a lot of NPR. I learned things on there. Yesterday I learned that I'm in favor of bullying. Pro-bullying. Maybe another one where I'm just on my own. That's totally cool. There was this guy on there. He's like super broken up. He's a journalist. He's so brokenhearted because when he was 15, some friends of his threw him in a lake. So he went back to his high school reunion to inform those people. He makes more money than they do, which I'm pretty sure... That's why that little bitch got his ass thrown in a fucking lake. Fuck that guy. If no one had ever told you that you're boring and smelly, you'd still just be walking around like that. I'm saying someone had to take that bullet for you. Hug your bullies. We all owe apologies to our bullies. But again, I'm a mean person, so fuck me. my name's Journey. I feel like my parents calling me Journey was basically like pinning a note to me saying, please be nice to this person. I don't know how else to explain why you would name a person Journey. And I live on a school bus. Because as I may have mentioned earlier, I figured money out recently. That's the answer to your problems. School buses. For those of us who hated school, you move on to a school bus. That's how that works. People ask me sometimes if I'm going to go back to school, and I point to my school bus as a definitely not. You don't move on to a school bus to go back to school. You go move on to a school bus to double down on dirtbag. That's what you do. I've made my choices. Fuck all y'all. I live in San Francisco for free, though, so, I don't know, responsible. That's what that is. Those are responsible financial choices. There's a guy who yells at me when he sees me because I live on a school bus for free in San Francisco. He says things like, "Why are you raping the economy?" Because you know how us poor people are always, you know, taking Wall Street down and fucking firing people from their shitty jobs. That's what the homeless people are, the fucking worst. We're just awful that way. But I understand. Like, I would feel the same way, too, if I'd, like, spent years learning languages and trying to get my fucking JD. Like, I'd be pissed, right? No one told me school bus is a career choice. So I'm fucking bold. This guy's been busting his balls trying to get student loans and figure his shit out because someone told him you have to have an S class to be a person. And I understand. Fuck me, San Francisco, free. You can all punch me in the arm later. Mean person, mean person. That's a theme. I have dogs. I also have dogs. Dog people. No? Again, just me. I'm all, oh, a couple dog people. Do you guys... I know I'm not the only person here waiting for pets to die. No, I'm not the only... Do you guys feel guilty when you're petting your dog and you're thinking about somebody else's dog? Like a younger dog, I don't know. Hey, I love my dog, but there's younger and there's better. That's all I'm fucking... my dog's an asshole. My dog, I found on the street, I thought he was like a Benji, you know, street mutt, nothing. He turns out to be a $1,500 French hunting dog. I adopted a Rockefeller, guys. It's not okay. That guy did not need my help at all. Not at all. He bites people, which may be why I keep him. Not me, other people. So I'm antisocial and a socialist. I don't know. It's all coming together. Yeah. Did everything I wanted to do, guys. Out of jokes, completely. Thank you so much for your time.
Can you feel it?
Journey Roberts. Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Feel it?
Oh, I don't care how dark it gets. That shit makes me laugh. Your next comic coming up to the stage can be seen crawling around your crawl space occasionally. You might find him there. I think I might have heard him skittering around in my walls last night, possibly. But, I'll let him explain it. Please welcome up to the stage Zach Wiseman.
Thank you, Ben. I'm not explaining shit. I like the advice they give to depressed people. One of the things you hear all the time is just fake it till you make it. Huh? Just fake it till you make it. But what if you never make it? Then you're just a liar for your whole fucking life. That's bullshit. I think you should address this thing like a real American. Just be honest until you kill yourself. That's what I think we should do. Right? I think that's... I just don't like lies. Lies are fucking stupid. I don't like lies. I don't like fucking liars. People lie all the time. They try to cover for the lies. They're like, "Well, I was just telling a little fib so I didn't hurt anybody's feelings. You know, just a little white lie. It's not a..." Yeah, fuck you, you fucking liar. White lies matter, guys. That's what I'm saying. It's not a fucking thing you should disregard. That's a fucking stupid joke. I was talking to this girl, and I was trying to convince her to blow me in a more gentle manner than that. Slow down. And she said, "Like, I don't understand blowjobs. I just don't get it. And well, I'm not going to do it. I don't even get it." And I was like, "What the fuck? Like, when you learn how to tie a cherry stem in a knot with your vagina, I will stop asking for blowjobs entirely. But until that time, please somebody suck my dick." I have done laundry exactly 2 times this calendar year. And that's because I live across the street from a Salvation Army. And I'm not telling you that I go shop at the Salvation Army a lot. What I'm saying is people donate things there in the middle of the night, which means they leave them on the street. That's my stuff now. That is all my shit. It's fucking amazing. I went there one night. I found a Garmin GPS system, like six pairs of shoes that were perfectly my size, and a sack of dildos. Like a lot of dildos. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, they need to quit sex cold turkey, or they keep a few they like? Like, what's... And what really impressed me about this sack of dildos is that it smelled like rubber. Like, I've come across a few sacks of dildos in my life. They usually don't smell like rubber. They usually smell like sack of dildos. You know what I mean? Person took care of their shit is what I'm saying. So I've been in San Francisco about a year now. I moved here about a year ago. Boy, is my asshole tired. You know what I mean? Jesus. My butthole looks like a kneecap, you know? Looks like the wrestling coach's cauliflower ears. You can see why they call them catchers, because after a while, your asshole just starts to look like a mitt, you know? Just a well-oiled, warm piece of leather, you know? It's not even so much a hole anymore as it's just an indentation in your ass, you know? Like how they mine out a quarry, it's that kind of thing, you know? And it's just for dicks, baby, just dicks. Oh, I hate all my jokes. Fucking every last one. I was homeless when I moved here. I moved to San Francisco as a homeless man. And boy, is my asshole tired, huh? That's fucking... Jesus Christ. You just get so much work out of that bit of asshole. You know what I mean? I don't care what people identify with. I really don't give a fuck. Identify, you have fun. Identify as a giraffe that identifies as a mouse. I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want, you know? Do whatever you want. But I think if your gender is the core of who you are, like that's who you are at the center of your being, you're kind of just a shitty person, you know? Like, fucking, you're not your hobbies. You're not your fucking wants, your dreams. You're partially your fears. Okay, like you ask a kid to tell you about themselves, and they go, I like SpongeBob, and I will be a Batman's when I grow up. And you're like, that's fucking stupid, kid, but ambitious, and I respect that. Like, when was the last time you heard somebody say, like, I went to the bar last night. I met probably the most interesting person I've ever met. And you're like, oh, yeah, tell me about him. And they're like, he's a boy. Fucking so? It's the most bland piece of character information you'd give me. Tell me you sat down at the bar and they looked you square in the eyes and go, by policy, I don't tell the Tuesday ducks about the Sunday ducks. I'll be like, holy fuck, I am intrigued. Tell me more. So I'm saying is fucking do some fucking things, assholes. Do some fucking things. There we go. That's my life advice. I fucking despise Salvation Army, guys. I really hate those people. I don't feel bad taking anything ever. Because one time, I went in, and there was a piece of plastic. It was about this big, and I could use it for stuff, right? Because I do meth, right? I have fucking things going on. And I go up, and I try to buy this unmarked piece of plastic, and she looks at me, and she's like, that's $3. And I was like, no, this is a piece of plastic. This is at most $1. And she refused to lower the price. She's an asshole. What I'm saying is if your business model is basically opening up a garage sale where people just bring you shit to sell, you can't be an asshole about it, all right? You got to be fucking generally nice. Fuck, I hate those people. I tried to buy my Halloween costume this year was Tiny Hulk, right? Because I'm a very small individual. And what I did is I was going to get some sweatpants, some purple sweatpants. Put those on, small as I could find, right? And then I would paint my entire body green, and I would just run around yelling, drunk as fuck, right? That's how you do Halloween. And I went to Salvation Army, and they did have sweatpants. They had purple sweatpants, used for $20. No. What the fuck is wrong with you? That's more than it costs new. Who fucking owned these? Are these fucking... Ugh, I hate them so much. Okay, I'll stop. I just despise people, right? I'm a scumbag. I don't know if you guys noticed that. I'm a fucking scumbag. Like, I'll smoke cigarette butts I find on the ground. I'll do that. And people make fun of me for that. They'll be like, that's disgusting, Zach. It's probably like human urine on that cigarette. And then I go, like, I go, my poison's dirty. The fuck is wrong with you? There's fucking cyanide in this, you asshole. That'd be like if I was going to shoot myself, but then I drop my shotgun in the mud, and I'm like, not putting that in my mouth. No siree. Fucking live another day. I think the best way to kill yourself would be to hang yourself underwater. All right, you tie some bricks to your feet, hang yourself from the edge of the dock. How is that not hilarious to everybody? Because one of those is unnecessary. That's how I'm going to do it, baby. No, I'm just going to accidentally die from drugs. That's how I'm going to do it. Still counts as a suicide, though, all right? Never let anybody tell you that I didn't kill myself. Yeah, because I'm going to do it. And maybe I just get to it a little quick, you know? That's just efficient, you know? Like, I was going to mow my lawn today, but then I did my laundry and mow my lawn. Just efficient. I don't do either of those things. I'm initially from Alaska. That's where I was born, in real rural Alaska, it was pretty cool. I got to eat like all the salmon I wanted forever, and now I can't afford it. Haven't eaten salmon since I left Alaska because it's like $20 a pound. That's fucking insane. But I lived in real rural Alaska. It was mostly like native people, and that's where I got my first fight. I was like 7 years old, and one of these native kids came up, and he's just a bully. And he came up, he's like, "Hey, white boy, you took our land." And I was like, "Motherfucker, I'm seven. I just barely learned how to take a shit outside of my pants. I don't think I took anything from anyone." And we'll say for a second that's true. We'll say that I did take your land. Your parents are pussies, because I'm a fucking child. Warrior spirit my ass. You guys know what homosexuals and seedless grapes have in common? It was a choice. They chose to be that way, and now they just have to live with their life decisions. You know, this is how life works, grape. You know what the difference is? God likes seedless grapes. He's never chipped a tooth on a grape with no seeds. You're just a superior grape, you know? Didn't like that joke. I'm probably too comfortable being a cunt all the time. But there's no real going back after that, you know? Like once, it's like if you shit your pants and then you walk around for a week, you just don't mind anymore. You can just do it forever. I know from experience, baby. I often think about castrating myself, because I make bad decisions over and over. And it's not even like I'm fucking all the time, right? That's not even the case. But I'm thinking about fucking all the time, which is really distracting, you know? Like, celibate people, they the hardest part about being celibate is not having sex. That's not the hardest part is trying not to think about having sex all the time. Like, refocusing that energy is one of the hardest things anybody can ever do. And that's why I respect Buddhists. Not Catholics, though. But fucking, they're just molesting the whole time. You're not having sex, you asshole. Celibate isn't a puberty thing. No. Fine. Some people think the pyramids are this like big, amazing thing. They're a wonder of the world. Pyramids are, that's a pile of rocks, guys. That's like the simplest way you can pile rocks. That's how children pile rocks. Like, have you seen the buildings we have now? You walk up, they're fucking go straight up in the air. Perpendicular to the earth. You walk up to a pyramid, the top's like fucking over there somewhere. It's bullshit, you know? Like, I don't know if you know this. If you jump off a pyramid, you can't even kill yourself. It's ridiculous. I'm not impressed by non-lethal buildings. You know, I need a building with a little bit of edge to it. Some people say shit like, yeah, but the pyramids, they're like 15,000 years old. I'm like, yeah, dude, they're made out of rocks. If rocks do one thing, it's just be there for a long time. It's not fucking impressive. Like, when was the last time anyone in here ever saw a new rock? Huh? Ever? I don't even think they make them anymore. They're like, whoa, if the factory running too long, let's just let them use them up, start making some more. Another thing not impressed about the pyramids, they were built with slave labor. Yep, Jewish slave labor built those pyramids. And anything you do with slaves immediately invalidates the thing. Like, you basically made your little brother clean your room. I don't care how fucking clean your room is. You're an asshole. People try to sway me. They're like, you know, Zach, there's strong evidence that there's an Egyptian working class that built those pyramids. I say, fucking bullshit. I know the Jews built the pyramids. You know what I know? Okay, you look at the pyramid, right? You look at the structure of a pyramid. It's the same structure employed in a Ponzi scheme. And that is the most Jewish thing you could do, design a building based off your scam. All right, guys, I'm out of here.
Wiseman and his amazing mild anti-Semitism. I feel like, you know, it's not like something to try for to know an anti-Semite, but if you're thinking about doing that, Zach's like a good starter anti-Semite, I feel like. You know, he introduces you to that world. Why are you guys here? No, wait, that didn't come out right. How did you guys hear about the show tonight? You're all here. This is your turn to talk. Shut up, you. You. No, please. How'd you hear about the show? Why did you? The what? Yeah, like, where on the internet? Like, tell me about it, guys. Like, it's very mysterious to me. What's that?
Brooke Stewart.
Okay, Brooke Stewart. Brooke Stewart? Is that right? Brooke Stewart? On the list. Yes, good. Brooke Stewart, everybody? Yeah, it's good. Good. This is amazing. I've learned nothing about how to advertise my show. But thanks for trying anyway. I hope you guys have enjoyed yourself this evening. You've been a fantastic audience. And give yourselves a round of applause right now for that. Because without you, this would all be very, very sad. I'm going to put a little email sign-up list over here by the door if you guys would like to check it out. I swear to God, I'll never email you except to tell you about future shows that are coming up. And if you get on the email sign-up list, I'll probably send you discount codes, maybe like prizes and things. You can't send prizes by email, but yeah, we'll figure something out. So that's going to be sitting over there. If you want to put down your name and email, we can let you know about future shows that are coming up. And, you know, any other details, favorite color, whatever. We are going to close out the show tonight. We've got one last comic. She is a fantastic human being, not only a fine performer, but just a great influence on the comedy scene as a whole. She runs a comedy show here every Friday night, Pantastics Comedy Clubhouse, as well as the Happy Hour open mic before. This woman is a comedy dynamo. I hope you guys will give her all your love and attention. Please, one last big final welcome to the stage right now. It's Pam Benjamin.
Yay! Yay me! Yay comedy! Yay! I'm a pretty Jew, so I'm going to put this light toward me so we can see how pretty I am. I wore put on makeup for you guys tonight and a dress. I usually wear jeans and ride a skateboard, but not tonight. You guys are important to me. Grab my own boob for you. Yeah. I live in the Tenderloin. It's a really shitty neighborhood. You guys are really shitty. And I'm a nanny in the Tenderloin. I know some people that live in Knob Hill, and I hang out with their child, and he's 4 years old. And it's really cute, and sometimes we walk in the Tenderloin together, and we play this game. Whenever I see a pile on the ground, I go, man or beast, man or beast.
It's a really fun game. And what I learned from the four-year-old is that if it's up against a wall, it's always man. Like, they understand physics at four. It's so impressive. I'm like, wow, you're going to be a critical thinker. It's really good. Yeah, I'm a nanny. I think a lot of nanny thoughts, weird nanny thoughts, like, why do babies' pants have pockets? 22-month-old, he wears a pair of cargo pants. There's six pockets. He can't even put his hands in his own pockets. Why so many pockets, right? Like, he can't even put his own socks on. Like, he's functionally retarded, right? Why so many pockets? So I realized that's where I put my drugs. Shit. It's the only safe place. It's on his person. You can't actually get to him. I don't know if you guys understand, 15-month-olds understand the mechanics of zippers. Backpack no longer safe. But the drugs on the kid. Also, the police will never search a baby. I look like a good nanny. I'm a good nanny, I promise. I'm 41 years old, and I don't have enough money to go to, like, 24-hour fitness or whatever. I can't, like, work out in a gym for $19.95 a month, because that's just not in my budget. But I don't know if you guys know about this new thing. It's sweeping the nation. It's called Nanny Corps 2.0. Oh, Nanny Corps. People I nanny for, they live on Knob Hill, so it's like uphill both ways. And you push the stroller up the hill. Keep the pace. Come on. You push. Switch the arms. You know, let's get rid of the bye-bye arms. You switch them. Lupita, Consuela, keep up the back. Come on. Quicker. We're getting to the top of the hill, ladies. We can do this. Yeah. Nanny Corps has a specialized diet. You only get to eat what the kid doesn't eat. It's a lot of half a cheese sticks. It's like two strawberries. What I've learned about the yogurt is you got to eat your half first because it's gross. You don't feed the baby, and then that's just, babies are disgusting. I don't know if you knew that. Just like yogurt all over their faces. It looks like something completely different. And it's so, I always keep little wet naps and stuff. The best thing about Nanny Corps 2.0 is that after you've been burning fat for 20 minutes, you actually start burning THC. I don't know if you guys know this, right? So I am a champ because I don't have to smoke pot before my nanny job. When I get to the top of the hill, talk to the parrots, the hummingbirds, the butterflies. We're having a great time at the park. It's good. And I don't have to smoke pot before my nanny job. Although I do. I do smoke pot constantly. But I'm always a sober nanny. I'm a good nanny, you guys. I promise. I'm a good nanny. I nanny these two twin six-year-olds in the mission. They're just darling. And the other day, they tied me to a desk chair with yarn. And they put tape over my mouth. But I like to foster creative play. So I went with it. And then they took out this laser pointer, and they stuck it to my hand, and they were like, I'm cutting off your hand! It's like, oh, 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 oh! And then they put it to my foot, and they were like, oh, I'm freezing your foot! And I was like, oh, oh, so cold! Fostering creative play. Good nanny, right? And they took the laser pointer to my chest and said, oh, I'm breaking your heart! Like, Daria, you need to stop, okay? Society has broken my heart. You guys are playing a game called Police State of your own volition. Why am I tied to a desk chair? What did I do wrong? And they put their little six-year-old heads together. And they came back. You stole a laptop! What kind of Islamic police state is this? You're cutting off my hand because I stole a laptop? And they looked me in the face and said, if you were black, we would have shot you. And I was like, oh, we live in a police state. What is wrong with society? I figured it out. Kids aren't reading books. Too much TV, too few books. Right? Critical thinking, good stuff. So I decided to read them a book. Pulled out Gulliver's Travels. Right? Great classic book. Reading them the book. Got to the part where Gulliver's tied up on the beach by hundreds of tiny little men. Got kind of excited. because I started thinking, like, what if I was Gulliver? And what if I was getting tied up on the beach by hundreds of tiny little men? Right? And what if, like, they brought me a wagon with, like, a strawberry on it, and they, like, brought it up to my mouth, and they were feeding me strawberries tied up on the beach, and I was like, this. And then I was like, what if, like, 10 or 15 of them got together in, like, some Cirque du Soleil pose, and they became an amazing little dildo? Okay, you guys, I don't know how to make a rape fetish fantasy look cute, but I'm going to try. Right, it's a Lilliputian gangbang. It's so darling. There's like 15 of them in there. At the same time, they're so tiny. Darling, get excited. I promise you I'm a good nanny. Here's the thing. Having sex on top of a baby is not pedophilia, all right? Because you're getting banged from behind. You're keeping eye contact with the baby, having a good time, giving it positive messages. And the baby can only see like 15 inches in front of its face anyway. And just because the baby's first words are, doesn't make me a bad nanny. Makes me a bad nanny. I promise you guys, I'm a really good nanny. Hey, I'm also a feminist. Yay. Do you have any feminists in the house? Yay! Feminism. I'll just say a few things about feminism, and then I'll talk about dicks in my mouth. Are we all on board? Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Feminism.
Feminism who?
I can get my own door. Fucking thanks. It's like the precept of feminism. I got the door I can walk through. It's good. How many feminists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
Hold on. Let me knock my dick out of this feminist mouth and we'll ask her. I think that's so funny. I'm trying to be the perfect girlfriend, you guys. I don't know. Is everybody in relationships here? You guys, obviously, relationships. Yeah. I'm trying to be the perfect girlfriend, you guys. So I was sucking my boyfriend's dick while he was playing Call of Duty. Yeah! And he realized, like, halfway through the 12-minute game that he couldn't sustain his attentions adequately on both tasks. So he had to choose Call of Duty or Call of Booty. What do you choose? Yeah, you're a nice man. My boyfriend also chose the first-person shooter game. I just wanted him to shoot me in the face. The only person he wants to shoot in the face is a 12-year-old boy who lives in Korea. Come on, you guys, let's get these fuckers. Yeah, I know. So I wanted him to talk dirty to me, and I was like, oh, let's do this. This is going to be fun. And we're both kind of vanilla, and he's like, can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know what to do. And I said, why don't you put the headset on? Because I've heard what you say to those 12-year-old boys in Korea. I'm going to put my gun in your pussy mouth. What does that mean? Say that to me. That's good. Speaking of things you don't want to put in your mouth, my boyfriend keeps trying to stick his balls in my mouth. And I'm like, all right, that's a thing now, right? Did you know this is a thing? It's like a, well, it's balls in the mouth. That's a thing. So what I say is, let's deal with my issues. I'm hungry. So if you could dip your nutsack in some marshmallow fluff and then roll one ball in chocolate chips, and then roll the other ball in graham cracker crumbs. Because if I'm going to have your sweaty nutsack in my mouth, I kind of want it to taste like summer camp. S'more dick, please! Last balls. S'more dick! So my boyfriend was finger banging me the other day, which was really fun, and that was the moment when I realized that my cat fucking loves the shit out of me. Because my cat didn't just sniff his fingers, he licked them. Which means, like, we are best friends. Or women really do taste like tuna. Either way, these aged purple lips are a fine sashimi. It's ahi, not albacore. None of that white shit. It's dark and purple with age. You guys, I don't know if you've masturbated for 41 years, but it's a... Wow. I got a mirror recently. That's crazy stuff. Yeah.
This is a thing that's been weird to me lately. I realize, does anybody else, like, did he hate advertising? Does anyone else hate all the things? Yeah. I hate advertising. It's a terrible thing. Do you guys know what the first ad that was ever taken out in the United States was? In 1741, Benjamin Franklin took out an ad in a magazine looking for a runaway slave. And now we are all slaves to advertising. In 1904, I couldn't flash a hairy ankle without being a slut bag, right? But now in 2015, if I don't shave my twat like a four-year-old girl, I'm a disgusting savage. No one wants to have sex with me. Gross. Thank you, Gillette. Thank you, advertising industry. Right? There's a new Gillette coming out with 17 blades. Have you heard about it? It's amazing. See, what you do is you take the 13th blade out and you slit your throat and shower. Because you'll never be good enough, ladies. Unless you shave every part of your body. You'll never be good enough. Says Gillette. Thanks, slave to advertising. It's good. It's good stuff. I try to be political every once in a while. You guys, I'm actually having my period. I woke up this morning, and I was like, I have the worst cramps. What is going on? Am I having my period? And I was like, oh, shit, I am. I'm not going to have a baby. But that wasn't the problem. The problem is that the entire Supreme Court is still inside my uterus. And I felt a little bloated. I'm like, why do I feel so big? And it's because their benches are just unwieldy. You know, they're so big. And I was like, oh, shit. I think everyone should be able to have an abortion. I'm a 41-year-old woman. If I want to have an abortion, that's something I can do. Don't tell me I can't have a late-term abortion. No way. If you make me have a baby, I'm going to have to get some new tools. I'm going to have to drill. I am. I'm going to have to drill some holes in the trunk of my car so the baby can breathe while I'm hanging out at the bar. All right? I love alcohol. I don't want a kid, right? This, at 4 years old, is still going to be a runner. It's going to be like, ah, on a leash. And they're going to be like, oh. And at 6, still a biter. First grade, biting other children. Terrible stuff. At 8, they call me into the parent-teacher conference and they say, your child said you love alcohol more than it. And I'm like, this is a sippy cup filled with vodka. Why are we confused? And at 11, it finally starts smoking the dupes. And I'm like, yeah, we have something to talk about. At 14, starts doing the ketamine. I'm like, who's your dealer? At 15, starts the coke. Finally, at 17 years old, it dies. The terrible overdose. It was like a speedball. Crazy, crazy stuff. And I'm like, holy fuck. 17 years old. That's the latest late-term abortion I could have ever had. It's a 17-year late-term abortion. That was your choice, you guys, to put him through rehab 4 times. Taxpayers, not mine. Your choice. Thank you so much. My name's Ben Benjamin. Keep it together. Clap hands for Ben Lupinetti. Yay!
Keep it going for Pam Benjamin. Wow. Wow. What energy. Love it. Guys, thank you so much for being here tonight and making it another wonderful Hired Killers stand-up comedy showcase. This applause is for you. It's for you. You're applauding yourselves. Hired Killers, we are here almost every month on Saturday nights. I hope you can check us out again. You can find us on Facebook. And like I said, you can sign up on our email sign-up list over here. You can also follow me on Twitter, at BenTheComic. I am Ben Lupinetti. I've been your host. I love you all. Have a fantastic evening. Yay! Thank you.